That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 150 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you all the great tips, insights, and many unique business opportunities, all perfectly packaged into 45 minutes, with thanks to Dundeal.ie. I'm Conall O'Moran, Foltister. On this episode, you may not have realized that there was a whopping 54% decline in the value of fish consumed in Ireland in 2020. As a direct result of the COVID-19 pandemic. That came as news to us too. Things are now picking up strongly, but there's another strong Brexit-made wave coming fishing's way. But as always, we bring you solutions, not the problems. So we have news of funding opportunities around the fishy business, as well as new business opportunities in that sector. And if you're in gambling, adult entertainment, tobacco or military sectors, there's nothing for you to see here. But if yours is an early stage company in the manufacturing and internationally traded services sector, then stay tuned for news of a possible €100,000 investment, even if you're only starting out. All our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van or truck. Dundeal.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. De Facto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why De Facto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. De Facto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
Brexit has not gone away, you know. In fact, there are some stricter controls between ourselves and our nearest trading neighbours in the UK about to be enforced. This will affect various sectors, but one that has already been particularly hit hard is fishing, a not always straightforward industry, as it has been noted that fish don't always carry passports. For example, what nationality is a fish taken from Irish water, landed in an Irish port by a Spanish trawler, possibly processed in Northern Ireland, then exported to France? So if you want to know more about the problems in fishing, there is a 66-page report called The Business of Seafood, produced by Bordi Esquivara, BIM, that is well worth a read. But you know, we make life easy for our loyal listeners. That's Team GBS. And that is why we have invited the BIM boss in to have a chat about those fishy opportunities and to tell us about the Brexit Adjustment Reserve. That is a €1 billion fund aimed at the seafood industry. Yes, €1 billion. Karen Bokel, CEO of Bordi Esquivara. Welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much.
You've got €1 billion.
Well, not all of it being administered by BIM, but yes, the Minister McConnell negotiated a very significant reserve for the seafood sector on the back of Brexit.
You've kept your minister happy. Now we can get back to business. What's the money for? Who can use it? Who can get it? What's going on?
Well, I think the first thing is probably to put it into context. Brexit has been absolutely catastrophic for the fishing sector, and many sectors have suffered hugely because of the huge difficulties in getting product into the UK, but I think fishing more so than any. And it's a little bit like you said at the outset, you know, the fish don't have borders. So we would have been, you know, fishing a lot of fish. 34% of our catch would have come effectively from UK waters. So that has been reduced by over a quarter. So that's had a huge impact on the sector. And then, of course, recently they've had COVID, and you mentioned that also. Happily, that's recovering now.
That's a huge drop. I was not aware.
But see,
how did we eat?
A lot of seafood would have been going to restaurants. So we have a huge food service. Many people really prefer to eat fish when they're out. They enjoy it in restaurants and fish and chip shops and so on. And that suffered an enormous drop during COVID. And then, of course, there was the Ukrainian crisis and the additional fuel costs, which vessels had to bear. So there's this sort of trinity of disasters that befell them, really. And the Brexit Adjustment Reserve was negotiated to try to counteract some of the worst impacts of Brexit. So what that is in some cases, it has been used to decommission some vessels from the fleet, so to voluntarily take some vessels out of the fleet.
Why?
The idea is that it will return the quota that they would have been allocated to the rest of the vessels in the fleet to make it more viable for everybody.
I can hear them already saying, yeah, but the problem is that the quota isn't big enough. Now, I suppose we could spend a day or two talking about that.
We could. And I think, look, there's always a demand for more quota. And we know that we are eating far more seafood in Ireland than we produce.
Which is very interesting, because that is also in that lovely little report that you sent me, all 66 pages of it, is that the whole myth. There was a time Irish people don't eat fish, but now Irish people eat a lot of fish.
We do, yeah. I mean, it would always have been associated with religion and poverty.
Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. People being forced to eat overcooked fish and not really enjoying it very much, and certainly not getting the best of fish. I mean, when you think of the abundance of seafood off our coast during the famine, for example, it was just dreadful that we weren't in a position to harness that. So a long time ago, certainly we wouldn't have remotely appreciated how lovely a product it could be. But that's all completely changed. So in Ireland now, we eat about 23 kilos of fish per person a year, which is much more than our UK neighbours. And it's
very interesting as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So they're about 20-25% less than that.
And it's Bordís Gavara who's made us eat all of this fish, is it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that necessarily. I think it's that we've a lot of people.
Say, yes, it's us. It's
oh,
us.
Yes, of course it's us. I think a lot of people are traveling now. And I think when they go overseas and they're trying fish, and particularly when you're sitting somewhere warm and sunny and somebody's handing you some beautifully grilled sea bass, people will come back and say, you know, I'd like to try this in Ireland. So what we're finding is that people are traveling, they're coming back home, they're asking for fish, they're asking their fishmongers for fish, and they're a bit more experimental about it. But also, I think people are very conscious, particularly post-COVID, about the impact on their health. Fish is good for you, full of nutrients, full of really good vitamins. It's sustainable, it's healthy, it's good for you, good for the planet.
Now, hang on a second. The sustainability issue, that's a big problem. I'd love to spend time talking to you about that as well. But we are a business program, not a health or a other type of program. And I want to know more about this billion euro. People are saying, I wonder, could I get a bit of that? Besides having very large trawlers that are going to be decommissioned, if we get down into the micro businesses, who can get their paws onto something?
So there's three main categories of businesses that can make very significant investments. The largest one of all is called the Processing Capital Scheme, and that's for people who are processing fish. And that has a budget of 45 million euro. So again, we would typically invest about 2 million euro a year in those sort of businesses. So it's many, many times that. So far, it's about 30 million euro has been committed of that fund. So it's a huge
uptake. What kind of companies would be taking that? I mean,
so
what size?
Well, we'd have some of the large companies that people might know, like Johan's, for example, down in Bantry, and Goodfish in Cork. And what they're doing is they're building entire new processing plants, and they are building them with a high degree of automation. They're building new smokers, new equipment. They're using really, really some of the best processing equipment in the world, so they can get really accurate yield off their products and they can produce them exactly to the spec of clients. But then we've got a lot of smaller companies. I was down with Star Seafoods in Kenmare during the week, and Daniel there has a tremendously successful e-commerce company where he's selling fish online. He started during COVID. There's companies like Burren Smokehouse who are investing in renewable energy and renewable energy initiatives. So there's lots of different companies, and they're doing really innovative things. I suppose the one that really strikes me is Donegal Fish, who I was also with a couple of weeks ago. And what they're looking at doing now, in fact, they're in the middle of implementing it, is previously in Ireland with mackerel, we would have fished it, frozen it and shipped it. We're still doing some of that. We've got a lot of international demand for that. But particularly in Asia, mackerel is really valued as a delicious consumer product. And we don't eat that much mackerel here. We've got some companies who are smoking it and selling it very, very well, but we don't tend to eat it as a fresh product. So what Donegal Fish have decided to do is to have a completely what we call value-added plant. So they're bringing in the fish, and they have two semi-automated production lines, and they are now going to be from a couple of months, in a couple of months' time, they're going to be finishing them to the spec of a Japanese customer and selling them direct to a Japanese supermarket. So they're adding much more value to their product. And that's what we want to do. We've much less raw material available. So we're trying to add as much value to it as we possibly can and try to really help companies grow to scale, to try to take advantage of what is an enormous global market.
And one of the things that I do, I love talking to people like you, is to pick your brains, because you think of fish morning, noon and night. I can tell, I can see you're very healthy. And when you're going around to see these smaller companies and you say, do you know what, there's another opportunity here because your research people or your trade analysts must see opportunity. Any tips, any suggestions, any opportunities that people should look at?
Oh, we're seeing enormous opportunities. We're working with a group in Chagask at the moment in their innovation center. And they have got wonderful ideas. They're suggesting that we would make pasta out of cod, for example. And they're looking at making...
Okay, that's a first for me.
They're looking at making crisps out of seaweed. So
I can understand that one. I can say, pasta out of cod, what, you mush it up and then...
I don't quite know. We have to wait for them to give us the samples. But so there's lots of
maybe
innovation.
Maybe we shouldn't broadcast that, because somebody might nick the idea.
Exactly, there you go. But there's lots of really good ideas. But there's lots of good innovations that the companies are currently doing. You know, I was with Goatsbridge yesterday, Goatsbridge Trout in Kilkenny, and they do trout caviar. And they're doing tens of thousands of tons of trout caviar. And they're selling it into Harrods. They're selling it all over the world.
I love those magnificent companies. You may not know of a company called Mina's Nougat. Do you know Mina?
I do.
Yeah. Well, Mina Rust has been on the podcast with me, and she's been on radio shows with me before. And I find her fascinating. She is in Harrods.
Yeah.
And you know, she's up and based in the top of Dublin Mountains. Yeah. And here's your Goatsbridge down in where
in Harrods as well. Yeah.
No, but whereabouts?
Oh, they're in Kilkenny.
Kilkenny.
Yeah, Thomastown and Kilkenny. Yeah.
Thomastown. Now there is a centre of enterprise, because of course you've got Flahavens down there as well, isn't that right?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Mount Juliet across the road.
So back to opportunities, because I can't get enough of this, because I just love it.
Well,
what else
I think if we go to the second fund, the second fund is an aquaculture fund, and it's really interesting. So what it's doing is providing match funding for people to invest in aquaculture technology. So if you think of oysters, the way oysters are grown is they're grown in mesh bags, and they're put in when they're just a few months old, little tiny things the size of a pebble. And they grow in the bags, and then every 12 hours they're turned. And the turning is to make that beautiful shape of the oyster shell. So they're turned on the tide, effectively. And that grows them over 18 months into the magnificent Irish oysters that we have. But this is really, really labour intensive, and obviously very difficult in wintertime. So we are working with companies now who are developing innovations to do automatic bag turners. And we're trialling three different types at the moment, where we're actually just these, they're just turning automatically on the tide. So they're flipping them over. So saving all of that labour. So we're grant aiding companies to invest in all sorts of technology that can help them.
And when you say you are doing it, and I don't mean you, Caroline, I'm saying BIM, you're funding it. You're not actually out there screwing in the widgets or anything else like that.
Yeah, well, so our regional officers would absolutely be out there on the farms. Yeah, so we have got regional officers right around the coast, and they really are the face of BIM. They're absolutely fabulous people, because they are dealing with everything from grant applications right through to these sort of innovations. So they'll go visit client on the farm, see what they have, and say, well, would you like to trial this? Would you like to trial that? And they'll physically go down, set up the trial for them, monitor how it goes, and then maybe get some feedback from the client, and then ultimately support them to put in a grant application for it. So we sort of really try to help develop, in some cases, what are these really micro companies, because of course seafood takes place around the coast, and the vast majority of all our seafood businesses are on the coast, and they're supporting really vital sort of social infrastructure on the coast.
How many people can you remember, or percentage of people in Donegal are working in the industry?
I do. 1 in 7. It's
That's
extraordinary,
huge. It's
isn't
huge.
It?
And it's brilliant.
It's brilliant, yeah. It's brilliant.
And all we need to Donegal is that big road. Do you know? I'm always on about this thing.
I know.
But anyway, back to the micro businesses.
So what we're doing is supporting some of these smaller businesses. And then we have another fund, which is called the Brexit Blue Economy Fund. It's a really interesting fund. So it will provide support to any company working in what we call the blue economy. That's within 10 kilometres of the coast. So the blue economy is anything in seafood, anything in marine tourism, boat building, basically anything that relies on the ocean for its business is the blue economy.
And what is the grant or what grants for? What size? Who can get them?
So how do you get them? So up to €200,000 of a grant. And it's 50%, so it's match funding. So we've got some really, really interesting companies.
Go on, so, can't wait. These, I love these. Well, all of these companies are invited to come on.
They're amazing.
Them.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the really interesting ones is Aran Island Skincare. So Aran Island Skincare, a guy called Niall, absolutely brilliant, he was working in his in-law's shop out in the Aran Islands, and he noticed that the products that were selling the best when tourists came in, where they were asking for products that were indigenous to the Aran Islands. And there was very few. So he started to make soap, and he made 50 bars the first week and they all sold out. And then he made more soap, and then he got into lip balms, and then he decided he'd get into skincare. He now has a full range of Aran Island products that are sold not only in the Aran Islands, they're sold throughout Connemara, and they're exported overseas, and it's a huge online market for them. So we're supporting him again to grow and scale his business now, to make big investments so that he can continue to grow that. So we've loads of examples. Another company you might have heard of is Oriel Sea Salt.
I did. I have, yes.
Yeah.
Keep going though. Tell the world about them.
So Oriel Sea Salt are an amazing company who decided that they would simply harness the salt from seawater. And they've done that really well. And they, if you've enjoyed O'Donnell's crisps, for example, you'll find sea salt in there. Many of the Irish ice creams would use their product. All of the premium Irish sort of confectionery products that use salt will use Oriel Sea Salt. But they decided that they want to do something a bit more than that. And what they've realised is that if you go down toward the bottom of the ocean, you get a different profile of the water to the ocean, to the water at the top. And that you're still getting the same amount of salt, but the minerals are completely different and the nutrients are much richer. So what they're doing now is, and we're supporting them for the technology to extract those nutrients and minerals out of that water, and they're making them as an additive for moisturiser and skincare. And they're working with some of the most luxurious brands in the world with these ocean minerals.
I love these companies.
They're amazing.
And they're little ideas that can grow into very big companies.
Yeah, they're amazing.
So keep going. Who can get the money? If I decided I want to make, let's say, skincare and salt, how do I go about getting some money?
You just go onto our website, bim.ie, and it'll bring you straight to the Brexit Adjustment Reserve. And you just click on an application. It's an online application. As soon as you do that, it'll be notified to one of our regional officers, and then if you want some help, they'll help you with the form, talk you through it, explain what you have to do. But it's very straightforward, and we've had enormous uptake. Again, we typically fund about $1 million a year under these type of schemes, and so far we're up to about $12 million on that particular scheme. So
there's
a huge uptake, and then we're seeing lots of companies who are simply using it to sort of future-proof their business, which is part of what we also want to do. So we're seeing companies that are doing whale watching tours and coastal tours. They're buying new boats.
They'll qualify as well, will
yeah,
they?
Yeah, if you're marine tourism, absolutely. So they're buying new boats. They're trying to improve the visitor experience. So they're putting on audio-visual for visitors. They're putting on pre-recorded things to make the quality of their visit even better. So we're seeing, amazing companies. There's another one actually which caught my interest during the week. I'm really curious to see their product. But they're called BioBio, and they are developing a replacement for plastic out of seaweed, and it's going to be edible. So they're making a sort of a plastic-like film
for
food.
Okay.
That's going to be edible.
Drop the whole thing into the water when you're cooking.
I mean, wouldn't that just be amazing when you think of all of the plastic in the ocean?
Oh, absolutely.
If you can have a plastic that's effectively edible, I mean, how brilliant is that? And then if it does find its way to the ocean, it'll dissolve. So it's really interesting. So brilliant technologies.
That's all the good news. Brexit. It still hasn't gone away.
No.
And it's going to get worse from what I've just been reading. Mm. And can we do anything at all?
I mean, Brexit, it is an absolutely horrendous thing for all companies. And this reserve is amazing. And the work that was done to get it and to make sure it gets to the people who need it was
great.
You're
allowed to shout out for the minister again.
And Minister McConnell did a fantastic job of negotiating it. And he did. But the reality is that these reductions are forever. So this will help companies now and for the next 3 and 5 years. Many of them are making once in six, 7 year investments now, but this will continue forever. And I think what we're seeing now in October, we're going to see more customs rules come in. These were anticipated. They, in fact, were meant to come in last year, but they were deferred by year. So we're just seeing, again, just more challenges with dealing with Britain as a third country, because it was our closest trading partner We relied on it very heavily for imports and exports, but also we worked with our colleagues and counterparts in the UK when we went to Brussels. So it's been really challenging for us to try to deal with this.
Did I read correctly in that report that we were importing a lot of fish from UK?
We are. We still continue to import a lot of fish, particularly from Scotland. Fabulous quality fish that they're bringing in. And that works reasonably well because we are consuming much more fish than we're able to catch ourselves. So we do need to continue those imports, and it's really important that we keep those lines moving.
You say we're consuming more than we can, but not could catch, because if we had a bigger quota, could we catch more?
Oh, well, absolutely, evidently. But I suppose, look, part of being a member of the EU, there was most certainly trade-offs in relation to quota. But look at the access we have.
Back 100 years ago, yeah.
I mean, but we have this access to a free market, and we see the challenges that's causing for people not in the EU. So you know, there is no doubt more quota would be fantastic for the industry.
And is BIM doing any work with anybody in Northern Ireland to try to integrate the fish business between the two parts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we are working with a lot of processors at the moment who are now establishing bases up in the north, because obviously it just improves the smooth flow of trade and that's very efficient.
What's that nice word they're using for Northern Ireland? It should be El Dorado if it was used properly, of course. But anyway, so you could actually catch a fish in Donegal, ship it over to Derry, and then you're in the UK, and then you can get it anywhere you want.
But actually, you don't even have to go beyond the north. If you think that there's over a million people living in the north, even for our processors now to sell into the north, there's another opportunity. So that's, again, something that we're looking at. So we're really focused on adding value to what we have, not necessarily freezing it and shipping it, but trying to extract as much value and to get as far up the value chain as we possibly can for companies.
Martin Nocton, the founder of Glendimplex, always says Northern Ireland should be your first export market, because that's where he started. Mm. And he's only a billionaire now. So
that's right,
he did something right.
Yeah, it is. And so we see huge opportunity there. So I think what's really interesting about the seafood sector is that it's really underdeveloped compared to many of the other protein sectors.
Why?
I think there hasn't been the demand possibly globally for it, but there is now. I mean, the global demand for seafood has doubled in the last 50 years, and it has trebled in Ireland. Now, that's the per capita demand. That's without looking at any of the population growth. There's an enormous demand. So I don't think there has been this kind of demand for innovation in the same way we might have seen in pork or beef or so on. But there certainly is now. So there's massive opportunity. And of course, one of the big opportunities for us from a business perspective is the whole growth of the aquatech sector. So the aquatech sector is really looking at how to use technology to really grow the aquaculture sector, because it is well understood now that this is one of the fastest ways to get the huge levels of protein that we need in the world to feed the world's population. So we think there's a huge opportunity in Ireland. We're launching a studio here this year where we are looking at funding aquatech companies really to try to accelerate their growth. So that's a really interesting opportunity for Ireland to position itself at the centre of that aquatech business.
I literally could talk to you now for hours about this, but we unfortunately have run out of time. Anybody who needs to get more information, straight onto the website, which is
www.bim.ie.
I have to laugh at people who still say www. Oh,
sorry, I'm so old, aren't I? I'm totally aging myself.
bim.ie, yeah. Will find them, I think. Now, you have one final question to answer, and you did already tell me that you do know what I'm going to ask you, but you didn't tell me who it was. Mm. Who would Caroline Buchel hire in a heartbeat?
So I'm going to be a little cheeky here, because there isn't a hope she'd probably work for me. She's so, such a successful woman. When I was in Goal, I had the immense privilege.
Now, you should explain that you were CFO at Goal, charity.
That's right, yeah, global charity, incredible organisation. And when I was there...
4,000 people.
4,000 people, yeah, turning over 200 million a year.
So it's a big operation.
Amazing, big operation. And when I was there, I had the enormous privilege of working very closely with Anne O'Leary, who was our chair.
Yeah.
And she was a truly inspirational woman. So I'd love to work with Anne, because she brings great value to an organization. She's the best saleswoman I've ever met. She could persuade anybody to do anything, really. But she really believes in people, and she's great fun. She works hard, and she just
brings... But she's been whipped on you now by Meta. She's gone into
right,
Meta, and she's now in charge of Meta.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But she also cycles everywhere, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does triathlons. She's an incredible woman, and she's great fun. She works hard. She really puts people at the heart of everything that she does. And she's a tremendous, tremendous woman.
Okay, Anne O'Leary, please come on to the show. I've met with her a few times. I've done some emceeing work with her in my time. And she is a lovely, lovely woman to work with. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. But before I let you go, any and all of the companies that you have mentioned, there is a standing invitation because I want to know more about them, particularly that one that you just mentioned, the one about the deep sea. And that's fascinating.
Amazing.
I love people's ideas. And how do they think about that? Or where did that come from? Anyway, there you go. That's all we do on That Great Business Show. Caroline Buchel, thank you for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
If you are in the porn or gambling businesses, then move right along. But if you're in agritech, cybersecurity, fintech, gaming, but not gambling, food and drink tech, or, keep listening because we have more funding news for you. Enterprise Ireland, or EI as it's known to the locals, has a really interesting pre-seed start fund worth up to €100,000 to companies that they want very early stages to know about. Anna-Marie Turley is manager, entrepreneurship and HPSU operations, the big title, with EI, and she's brought wads of crinkly cash and a list of rules with her. Anna-Marie, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal. Delighted to be here.
Where's the cash?
All in the pocket.
One of the things that I did when I was looking at this is I couldn't see an overall number. Is there an overall number? How many hundreds of thousands of euro, be those in 50,000 units or 100,000 units, have you got to give out?
Well, that's the beauty of this scheme, Conal, because it's open all the time. So it's open for pre-seed companies or early stage companies to apply when they're ready for it. So we don't have a limit as such, but ideally we're looking for around 60 companies to be successful with this in this year.
Well, that's 60 to be successful. That's a useful phrase because you might have to go for 120 or 160 or 200 to get 60 successful ones.
That's true. And often I suppose what we find is we're encouraging companies to start when they're ready on the journey. So pre-seed start fund or PSSF, it may not necessarily be the starting point for a lot of companies, and we're more than happy to direct them to on their journey to where they might be more successful. And that could, for example, be the New Frontiers Programme, which is the national entrepreneurial programme, which is run in 18 locations throughout Ireland through our technological universities. So that might be a starting point for them instead of this.
Or going for growth with the lovely Paula Fitzsimons,
indeed,
who is one of our heroes. We love Paula, as you possibly know.
Absolutely, and encourage all the women entrepreneurs to apply when they're ready again. That's
and
high on our mandate.
If you're out of the big metropolis, you go for the Acorn programme as well.
Exactly, or if you're looking to come out of the corporate world, you can look at the Inspiring programmes either.
Which I must actually have on, because that's one we haven't done to date. But back to this one. When EI Enterprise Ireland sets up these kinds of funds, there's thinking behind it, fortunately. What was the thinking behind it? What were you seeing that we weren't, as an entrepreneurial nation, not doing?
So that's a great question. And when we designed this, we very, very, very much listened to the ecosystem. So we went out, we talked to investors, we talked to founders, more importantly, to see what it was that they were missing. Now, the pre-seed start fund replaces our old competitive start fund. So a number of differences in that, which I'll hopefully go through in a few minutes. But what was the ecosystem saying? It was essentially saying that they needed more funding at an earlier stage. They needed people to write the checks earlier. So, and they were also saying that 50,000, which was available in the competitive start fund, in often cases wasn't enough. So we've upped that to 50 or 100,000. And again, it's open all the time, so founders aren't waiting for a specific call date. And also, we're not taking equity up front. It's a convertible loan. Now, by all means, we're hoping to convert later on, but this is an early stage part of the journey, and hopefully we'll invest later on in those companies.
And what was the thinking not to take equity?
Again, you know, it was the founder's risk appetite. So, I mean, we're very much taking a lot of the risk with this. So for each 50,000, we're asking founders to put up 5,000. So again, we're de-risking it at the early stages for those founders to actually make it appealing to jump ship and go forward with their own idea. So the idea was, let's make it as easy as possible. We'll go for the convertible loan note. We're not going to hamper them up front. But again, very much with the idea that hopefully these companies will in the future avail of other funding from us, like our innovative high potential startup funding.
And of course, I'm being facetious when I say that it's not for use for going on parties, but you are specific about what it can or must be used for. I did see that you've capped the solicitors or the lawyers at 10,000, isn't that right?
Correct, yes.
So what else is it to be used for?
Again, very much around developing the business plan. We want to see what the commercial milestones are for the company. We want to see what the technical milestones are. It's about developing, getting to minimal viable product stage, hopefully getting first traction. Again, putting the team together, all the things that you would expect at a really early stage company.
And I saw that you didn't even have to have a company. You can be an individual, isn't that right?
You can be an individual to register for the application and apply. But if you were successful, you need to have incorporated your company at that point.
Well, that's probably to protect EI and
Absolutely.
Others.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, but it does mean that you are open to just an idea.
We're open to ideas. Again, we look very much at the individuals, their track record, where they're coming out of. You know, have they done this before? Do they have a team around them? So idea, yes, but ideally we'd like it to have a minimal viable product there.
Perfect segue into, you said that you have a list of rules and regs. So give me 2-3 of the hard ones that people will find a little bit unpalatable. Because obviously, if you're giving, I won't say free money, but you're giving the state's money to them.
There's nothing unpalatable, really. I mean, we're really, as I said, looking for the early stage companies. That means they're not more than 4 years old. Where you hope that they're not going to have more than 150k invested in them. Now, sweat equity doesn't count. And again, not more of sales of more than 150,000. So there's nothing unpalatable there. It's all fairly standard, really.
And you did say you're not allowed, because it's down in the rules and regs for Enterprise Ireland or whatever that act is, there's no adults, no gambling, no military, no something else. But what are you actually looking for?
Again, this is open to all sectors. Now, what we are seeing is we're seeing a lot of applications coming in from the technology sector. That's expected.
But tech is going to cover so many, because I also saw agri, med, all the techs.
All the techs, all the life sciences. And again, seeing a great trend in digitalization coming in. Obviously, we're very much all about the sustainability, the climate agenda. So seeing lots coming through on that. You know, all the new technologies, AI, all the exciting stuff, AI, quantum computing, all of those really hot topics. Great to see that coming in. And great to see Irish companies coming in with ideas that are solving international problems. Like, this is going to go wider than Ireland, obviously.
Well, they have to, because EI will only give you the money if you're getting off the island. We only want...
Correct.
And it's a... I mean, I love the idea. I've always loved that idea, is we are too tiny for this little island, so we get off the island. It's a big, bad world out there.
Absolutely.
So... what are the ones that you don't want? Forget about the ones I mentioned about the adult entertainment stuff and all. What do you prefer to keep away from?
Well, it's the ones that are older than 4 years. So obviously they were kind to help them on that side. But what we're there's nothing really that we're not looking for, other than I have an idea and somebody who hasn't or isn't ready to jump ship and form that company.
Go down to your Leo to have that chance.
Exactly.
Isn't
that right? And that's part of the beauty of Ireland and the ecosystem that we have here. We have 31 Leo offices, and we're more than happy to direct those ideas to our Leos to get them started off, or equally to the business innovation centres, of which we have 4 around the country. And again, all that ecosystem is very, very nicely tied up, and it's all cogs in the wheel that are working quite well. And we're happy to direct the people to those.
Any and every business listening, if they're 4 years and under, will be saying, God, how can I get this money? How quickly can the process work? So I get onto EI, presumably through the website. Is that how you do it?
Exactly.
Or through the brilliant, I love the DA. What is the DA? To me, DA used to be a district attorney. But in Enterprise Ireland, it is your...
development advisor.
Does it not, should they not have little badges saying DA?
The prefect badge from school. Very much so. So it's the application is available on the website. There's also, we are asking our applicants to submit a video pitch. So 4 minutes long, outlining the idea, what it is that you're doing, what the team is, who is surrounding you do that. You know, who this is actually going to solve a problem for. So standard things that would be asked in any business plan. Incorporate that 4 minute video pitch and submit that as well.
Who reviews those videos as a matter of interest?
We do in our own team here, so we review that. We do a bit of due diligence on the applications.
And how do you do that due diligence? I mean, Irish style, make a phone call or do, what else do you look for?
No, we're looking to see, you know, what the business is before, again, verifying the age of the company or applicant if it hasn't been incorporated as yet. We're looking to see, you know, how much investment is in there. So obviously we'll be checking that on our the CRO systems, etc.
It's my bad mind. I was thinking that you might be checking, now your man's a dodgy so-and-so and you make a phone call to find out. But I presume, like everybody, that's known as due diligence as well, I presume.
It is, but I mean, most of the applicants, again, Ireland being a small nation, we would know a lot of people. And again, hopefully some of these ones will be referred to us from our colleagues in the local enterprise offices, from our colleagues in the business innovation centres. And again, for anybody that is interested, and to answer your question, it's around 10 weeks roughly from application time to decision time.
And one of the things that you said at the very beginning there was, it's always open.
Correct.
So you don't have to sweat until it's too late.
And that's the beauty of this. And that's why we're encouraging applicants to go when it is ready for them. So it's not a panic. Let's get an application in before 12 o'clock tomorrow night. This is ready when you are ready to apply for that. And again, going back to our colleagues in the business innovation centres, they run monthly workshops for anybody that is interested in this. And often that is just questions around, what is a CLN? How do we, what happens
CLN?
If we, a convertible loan note?
Okay.
So that's
you
the mechanism. Sorry. That's the mechanism of which we invest the 50 or 100,000 in. What does that mean, et cetera? So.
And what is the difference between 50 and 100? Besides, don't say 50,000, but how do you make up your minds? And is that the maximum or can you go minimum? Can you go lower than that? Can I ask for 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever?
No, it's either 50 or 100,000. And really, it depends on what the milestones are that the applicant is setting out. So what the commercial milestones are, what the technical milestones are, and the clearer they are, the clearer the plan of how they're going to spend the money, what they're going to do, the easiest it is for us to make a decision whether or not to bring the applicant in for interview and discuss those questions with them. So to answer your question, that's the next point. We do talk to people as well.
So you've got a big title that I love. You are a manager, entrepreneurship and HPSU operations. That means that you have seen many of your favourite companies and maybe not so favourite companies over the years, because you've been doing this for a while. What are the ones that you just say, please do not do this? What are the no's? Because people listening, I want to help them and I want them to know, don't do that kind of a thing. You know, again, I'm being facetious, no funny hats on the video, that kind of thing. What do you say, do not do this?
The big message I would say is always, you know what problem it is that you're solving and be able to explain that really, really clearly, because there's literally no point in coming in and saying McKinsey report says there's 10 billion or whatever the way big number is, you know, like of a market, and we're going after 1%. Unless you can explain what the problem is that you're trying to solve and explain that clearly, how do we know what you're going after? So that's the big, big, big message. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And that's prepare all aspects, have a business plan, because that helps you not just with us, it helps you with investors and with potential customers as well.
And do you know what? I'm going to suggest this as well, that they watch Dragon's Den. I cringe, I die inside when poor, really well-meaning people go on, full blaze of cameras, and they make a monkey of themselves because they don't know their basic numbers. And they, to answer your question, they don't know what they're even doing or why they're doing it. I'm going to make a better ice cream. That's not a good idea, is it?
Good, better ice cream, but what flavour? Why is it better? You know, is it going to have more healthy ingredients? Just be able to elaborate on that.
And so as I said, you have seen many.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of companies ill-prepared who just, you know, they could have got money if they had done it better?
I think that's a part of the beauty, really, of what we do is that, we're able to direct them for further assistance. And an awful lot of people don't want to hear, right, you're not getting money because you don't know your finances. But that's the biggest aspect that a lot of people don't recognise, or they haven't put the work in, because going back to what's the trendy sectors, it's always going to be tech. So tech people love tech. They may not necessarily love finance.
There wasn't tech, remember. There was a time. Pre-tech.
Oh, there was, yeah.
So, in fact, the next trendy area might be something that we haven't even known about.
Could well be.
60 companies is what you'd love to get. 60 good companies is what you actually said, I think. Are there a lot of good companies? I know there are a lot of good companies, but like, you really do have your finger on the pulse. Do you think that there are really tremendous companies out there? What I'm going to work up towards is, and I won't make you name them, but maybe to kind of dangle in front of me, that there was one that you saw and it's going to be so big, it's fantastic. One of those ones? You don't have to name it.
There's loads of good companies coming through. Now, with the pre-seed fund, it's probably a little bit early because we just launched that late last year. So just before Christmas, we approved 44 companies with this fund.
Already?
So probably,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
okay.
There's a lot that we're going through at the minute and processing. It was just launched towards the end of Q1 this year. So probably a bit early to name ones from that, but from the predecessor fund, the Competitive Start Fund, there would be a number, and I'm sure you might have heard of a company called Taylor. They've been in the media quite recently.
I must have been in the media. Oops. what do they do?
So basically what they do is they have tackled an inconsistent sizing problem for clothing. So it's all around the sustainability agenda.
I didn't know that was the name, but I have seen that. So yeah. But so explain what they do, because people need to know.
Big clothing brands. So apparently if you have a top maybe in a red colour, it might be a different size. It might be a medium, it might be a large in a blue colour. And that's because of the dye that is put into the fabric. Oh. So this is all ticking the boxes for the sustainability agenda for the clothing companies, saving them a huge amount of waste, a huge amount of money as well, obviously.
And I think also a size 10 in one shop or one clothing line is not the same as a size 10 elsewhere. And therefore, returns. Yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
And we don't want those.
No.
So that's a brilliant Taylor.
Yeah,
Taylor. T-A-I-L-O-R. I have to check them out. They're invited onto the show. Any other ones?
One from much further back that would have started on the New Frontiers journey, that which is the entrepreneurial program that I mentioned, received Competitive Start, went through the milestones quite successfully, then raised high potential startup funding, is Scurry down in Wexford.
We know Scurry for sure, S-C-U-R-R-I.
Correct, yeah. Rory O'Connor. Yeah. And they're now employing over 50 people down in Wexford.
Fantastic.
And moving into new premises down there. So again, all exporting, doing well, hiring people here. That's exactly what we want.
So anybody who wants to know more, straight onto the EI website, correct? And you can get it within, you say, 10 weeks if you have tick all your boxes. Anything else we should know?
Again, advise anybody that's interested in it to avail of the Business Innovation Centre workshops. They're run monthly. They're a great resource. If there's any queries, just have a Google on this on our website and you'll get an email address. You'll come through to our team.
And the thing I really tell everybody, EI and the Leos and the BICs are all in your corner. They're not trying to get you out or anything.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point. We're here for the entire journey of the business and we want companies not to just survive the early stages. We really want them to thrive.
Your final question is the one you've been dreading. Who would you hire in a heartbeat? And if you mentioned the minister, forget about it. It's not going out because that's not allowed. And if you say Leo Clancy, the boss, he's not going out either. Who is your hire in a heartbeat, Anna Maria Turley?
So I was thinking about this one and both of my sons were competitive swimmers and understanding the early mornings that they have put in, the 4 o'clock
you,
and the
I'm
morning
sure.
starts,
yeah.
exactly, and the hard work and dedication, both physical hard work, mental hard work, sheer determination and, absolute maximum capacity on all angles. It's a swimmer. It's not Michael Phelps. It's Katie Ledecky, who's equally as decorated as Michael Phelps. And the reason being, I think she did, I watched her swim in 2012, I think it was, in the London Olympics. And at 15 years of age, she went out, she did a 800 metre free. And she did everything that a coach would tell a swimmer not to do. She went out hard. She was a body length ahead of everybody when she was 200 metres in the pool. 400 metres the same. And everybody said, she won't be able to keep going. She won't be able to keep going. She did. She got gold, 15. She swam her race, her way. And that's the qualities of a good entrepreneur.
How beautifully put. Katie Ledecky, you're hired. Now, get into the water quick. Great. Look, thank you so much, Anna Maria Turley, for joining us on That Great Business Show. And straight onto the Enterprise Ireland website now.
Thank you, Conal.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 150. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie. It's the only place to find your next car, new or secondhand. Do sign up for email updates and for your own personal copy of the podcast at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And that's where to go if you would like to advertise with us. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Mark, nothing fishy about me, McCarthy, is today's sound engineer. And our skipper supreme, studio manager Peter Rice, adds his clickbait later, making us the world's best sounding business podcast. So from me, Conal Moran, Bechus to you all, agus slán tamall.